Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and the title of the message there, if you've got one when you come in, the sermon insert there is All Stressed Out and Nowhere to Go. All Stressed Out and Nowhere to Go. It's in Psalm 37, and I'll read the first 11 verses, and then I will pray, and then we will pray for years. And Don passed away yesterday morning. He did not have any illness. Several people from the Morgantown area started texting me and calling me yesterday morning about 7:45, 8 o'clock. And Don, he lived right there by Lindsay's Market there on Highway 79 as you head towards Caneyville. His dad started that, and he had it for several years, and his daughters have it now. All of them come to church while I was pastor down there. And Felicia, his daughter, texted me yesterday afternoon. She said, we found Dad. He said he got up, put his clothes on, put his glasses on, and went to sit in his recliner. And he was just sitting there with one hand on his knee and one hand on the armrest, and that's how we found him. Wow. So I don't know. I'm speculating here, but I guess he just had a heart attack, and he went on to be with the Lord. So God bless Brother Don. I know I'm going to see him again one day. Amen. I posted some comments on social media. I went and visited many, many people with him. And I don't know how many thousands of dollars he gave to people who needed it. And nobody ever knew it come from him. I did, but nobody else did. I'll talk about him now that he's gone. Amen. Amen. Just to let you know how good of a guy he was. And so he'll be missed by that community and by that church and, of course, by his family. He was a great, great man, to say the least. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 11. All stressed out and nowhere to go. Bible says this, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance peace." Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day and for this word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and Father's hearts to trust and patience to wait for you in this life. Father, we love you. We lift up the name of Jesus this morning. We thank you for Calvary's cross and what was done there. And forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 We have to learn that God has everything under control. Amen. Every topic that we can imagine is covered in the Word of God, and that includes stress and that includes worry. Now, we know that God is love, amen? And we know that God loves you, but folks, there's a lot more to the Christian life than just those few thoughts. You see, all believers need to grow, and we need to grow into mature believers with an understanding of all the deep things of God. And one of those things you have to do in your life as a believer is you have to be able to recognize sin. You have to be able to recognize sin. Did you know that it is a sin to worry? Amen? It's a sin to get uptight. It's a sin to get all stressed out. It's absolutely a sin to do that. In Psalm 37, three times we are told not to fret. It is a sin for a Christian to live a fretful, worried life on the edge of anxiety. Fret there in the King James, it means to burn up on the inside. It means to get all hot and bothered over something. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, when he says, "Take no thought for yourself." He said, "Take no thought for yourself." You see, the Lord instructs us. He said, "Don't worry." He said, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat." He said, "Don't worry about what you're going to drink." He said, "Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to wear." Paul told the church at Philippi, he said, "Be careful for nothing." It means be anxious. for nothing. And so we have several warnings in scriptures about having that kind of behavior. Have you ever been around somebody that's anxious all the time? Kind of jumpy? I don't know about you, it kind of makes me uncomfortable. Like they're living on the edge of a knife, and you know, at any second they're going to slip and cut themselves, and all this anxiety and anxiousness, and they're just always short of breath and stuff. I've been around people like that. It makes me uncomfortable. God said, you don't have to live like that.
Amen.
He said, don't live like that. You see, this morning we're going to look very quickly at the source and the sin of getting uptight and stressed out. You see, human beings, we are experts at getting uptight, aren't we? We're absolute experts at getting uptight and upset and worried. You see, the national pastime in the United States of America is no longer baseball. It's worried about what might happen. Amen. Insurance companies make billions and billions of dollars off of what might happen. What might happen. You see, believers and non-believers alike, we worry about the economy, we worry about the government, and we worry about a thousand other things totally out of our control. You see, the devil keeps us preoccupied with things that don't matter so he can work on your heart where things really do matter.
Amen.
And so no one is exempt from this either, from the pulpit all the way out the back door, because we live in an uptight world, don't we? That's what we live in. We live in an uptight world. Everybody is subject to the same fears. Everybody is subject to the same pressures of life. But while we live in an uptight world, God does not leave us without resources. Amen. God has something for us. That's why the Bible says, fret not thyself. You see, the cure for all this anxiety, the cure for all this fretfulness is right there in Scripture. It says to trust in the Father's care.
Amen.
You said the Bible says that God will use every resource available to help those that obey His commands. That is a promise from the Word of God. You see, all of God's people, all of us struggle with various problems, but in Psalm 37, God says, listen to me, David's writing this song. He says, don't get stressed out.
Amen.
Fret not thyself. Don't get all hot and bothered. Don't get all burning up on the inside. Don't get a bunch of knots in your belly. You see, folks, we can live in a stressed out and uptight world and remain loose as we trust in God and remain in the Lord.
Amen.
That's how we combat this. So to find an answer to this stress, you say, okay, you've talked about it. You got my attention a little bit, and I understand what you're saying. So what do you need to tell me? I need to tell you two things. The first thing I need to tell you is the source of all this fretfulness. Where does it come from? The source of it. So as we look at Scripture, we say, you know, what causes a child of God to get all stressed out? What causes that? Well, let's look at it. The first thing is this. It's the inequalities of life. The inequalities of life. Say, listen, we have to know and understand that sometimes life is just not fair.
That's right.
Amen? It's just not fair. Life is not fair. Now, things don't always work out like we expect them to, do they? But if life's just not fair, look, verse 1, it has the word envious there. And in verse 1, I've got it outlined in blue in my Bible. The word envious there, it's kind of like the main idea. Now, it's not that a believer has the desire to be like the wicked. Amen? I don't desire to be like the wicked. I don't desire to cause all problems in society. I don't have any desire to be like the wicked. But I doubt you would find anybody that said, you know, I wouldn't mind that lifestyle. I wouldn't mind having some of the things that they have. Just every once in a while. You know why those casinos in Las Vegas, those big motels, you know why they're so big and they give you free steak dinners, don't you? Because they're taking your money. You know? And that's pretty, you know, it'd be okay to have some nice material things like that. That's what the Lord's warning about. He said, be not envious of those people. You see, a lost person that does not know God, and yet sometimes none of the problems or worries that we have seems to affect them, does it? It seems like they're just numb to that. Now, why is that right? That's not right, is it? Life's not fair. Life's not fair. And David writing the song, he's having a difficult time understanding that just like we do. He said, hey, God! He said, hey, wait. He said, how can all these godless people that don't know you, don't care about your word, how can they seem to enjoy life so much more than God's people? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the great tricks of Satan is the inequality of life.
Amen.
Life's not fair. And we just have to face that fact that life is not fair. And nobody said it would ever be fair. I hear it more and more from young people all the time. And this little kid, a few weeks ago, I may have shared with him, he said, we was talking about something, and he said, well, that's not fair. I looked at him, I said, son, let me give you a wake-up call. Life's not fair. You don't always get what you want. And the only people you're special to is your parents once you become an adult. And he kind of looked at me. I said, I hate to be so honest and blunt with you, but that's just the way it is. And the quicker you realize that, the better off you're going to be. Don't stand around thinking somebody's going to always be there to help you out. You see, life's not fair. It's not fair. That's why we have homeless people and children with a bad home life. It's just not fair. It breaks my heart that it happens. But it's not fair. And I would be willing to bet that everybody in the building this morning and those that are listening on the internet later on, I would be willing to bet that everybody has something in their personal life and you've talked to God about it. You say, Lord, this ain't fair.
Amen.
Ain't fair. I've done this, this, and this. And I haven't done that, that, and the other, and it's just not fair. Why does this happen to me? You see, the tragedy is this, and I'll move to the next point. When we get caught up in this considering things unfair, it strangles your prayer life. It strangles your prayer life. It chokes your faith, and it hinders your trust in the Lord.
Right.
That's what the inequalities of life will do. Number two is this. The inactivity of God. Now, verse 7, it says that not only do the wicked plan evil, but they are successful with it. And it seems that God doesn't do anything about it. Amen? Isn't that interesting? Now, we would expect God to stop all evil, wouldn't we? We would expect that. That's one of the atheists and non-believers' biggest claims. Well, why, if God loves everybody, why does he allow evil and stuff? But, and we watch, and God doesn't stop evil. And it seems like they get more successful and more prosperous as the day goes by. So why does God allow evil to prosper? Let me give you an example from Scripture. When we start asking those kind of questions, we kind of sound like Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. They said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd just been here. Lazarus, our brother, he wouldn't have died. If you would have just been here. Folks, let me ask, has this question ever crossed your mind? Lord, if you would have just listened to me, none of this would ever happen. Anybody ever had that thought? Yeah, I'm glad we have a few honest Baptists in the building this morning. Amen. The ice didn't freeze your brain, did it? Lord, if you would have just listened to me, this would have never happened. The prophet Habakkuk, he had this same kind of thought in his book in the Old Testament, there in chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. He's kind of about having a little pity party, and all this evil is happening around him there. And he's like, God, where you at? I don't see any activity. You need to do something. This is what Habakkuk told God in chapter 1. He said, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? He said, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. He said, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which will ye not believe, though it be told you. That sort of sounds like modern day United States, doesn't it? Where you at, God? It seems as if your law has slacked. Where you at, God? I see sin all around me. Nothing is happening. Where you at, God? Our government spent $500 million funding Planned Parenthood. Where you at, God? Where you at? That's what Habakkuk is asking. He said, where you at, God? You see, it seems as if God is doing nothing, doesn't it? And it gets very frustrating. Oh man, God just come down and we act like the apostles. Hey, just send fire down and kill them all. Just do that. Just send fire and just kill them all and we'll go on about our business. That'd be great. It gets frustrating. And we think, listen, if God would just do something, just something, every once in a while we could tolerate the wicked, couldn't we? If he would just do something, it'd be a little bit easier to swallow some of the stuff we see all the time. But it doesn't happen. Doesn't quite happen like that. But I can promise you one thing. God's always working.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it's still true. Amen. God's working. You just can't see it.
Amen.
And he's going to come through. And he's going to take care of everything that his word said he's going to take care of.
Amen.
And he's always working good for those that know him.
Amen.
So when you have inequality in your life, don't stress out. Don't fret. And when the inactivity of God bothers you because of all this sin and evil in our world and wickedness, don't let it bother you. You say, it's real easy to say. I'm not done yet. Last part of this first point is this. Number three thing is the ignorance of the ways of God. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. Listen to me. Ignorance of the ways of God. The only reason, everybody say only. The only reason that we get all uptight and we get all stressed out is because we're ignorant of the ways of God.
Amen.
We don't quite understand it. And reading through scripture, we understand that God works a little bit differently than man does, doesn't he? He works different than we do. And the Bible says that God's ways are not man's ways. Now I'm going to touch real quickly on two ways that God's ways are not our ways. And the first thing there involving that is this. God's clock does not work like ours does.
Amen.
Amen. God's clock don't work like ours. Listen, we always what? We always want it done
now.
How many of you guys ate a Blaze pizza? You ate there? I ate there for the first time yesterday. And Julie told me, she said, you'll be amazed how fast they get your pizza. She went by the other night and actually I wanted pizza and she was going by there and she got a couple and she goes, you know, I went in there and ordered and told them what I want, went to got my drink and I turned around and they handed me the pizza. And so we went, I said, I got to see this. Went back yesterday and we was in town and doing some shopping and we went by there and I told them what I want. She's right. They made up five pizzas, put them in that big oven, cooking about 600 degrees and I got me some lemonade and tea there and turned around and there's my pizza. And it'd be good to have everything like that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you like to get your tax return that fast? On January 2nd, it's in your bank account or in your mailbox. That'd be pretty cool. Government don't work like that. God don't work like that either. You see, we want everything right now. Verse 7 there in Psalm 37 and verse 11, it gives us a little insight into that. The Bible says there, rest in the Lord. It says wait upon the Lord. It speaks of resting. It speaks of waiting on the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. It says a day is like a thousand years unto the Lord.
Man.
Who wants to wait for a thousand years? Is anybody going to wait that long? I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to wait for a thousand years. I'm just like everybody else. I want it now. Want it now. Give it to me. Now. But God's clock does not work like ours. You see, God would love us to get on his plan of resting and waiting and relying upon him instead of fretting. Philip Brooks was an old preacher from many, many years ago and he was from Boston and one time his friend stopped by his house one evening on the way home from work and he saw Brooks pacing back and forth. He's just pacing back and forth with his head down and his hands behind his back. And he said, what's going on, preacher? He said, what's wrong? And Brooks replied, he said, the problem is that I'm always in a hurry and God is not.
Amen.
I'm always in a hurry and God is not. can relate to that, folks.
Amen.
And by the head nod and everything, so can many of you.
That's right.
I'm always in a hurry, and God is not. Did you ever notice something about Jesus? He was never in a hurry about anything, was he? He never got out of rhythm. He was never afraid of being late, was he? Yet he was always on time. Well, that worked out miraculously some way for him, wasn't it? He was never in a hurry. You see, God's clock does not work like ours. There are no surprises in heaven, only plans. God's clock doesn't work like ours. Second thing is this. God's values are not like ours. God's values are not like ours. You see, having a different value system causes us to get all stressed out. Amen. You see, for instance, things that mean the most to God usually don't mean very much to us. And we get all uptight and we get all fretful and all worried when the things that we value and the things that we desire are taken from us. We get all upset. Let me ask you this. Think about when an issue or a problem happens in your life and you begin to pray. Let me give you a few examples. This is example A. Remember, God, thank you for this problem. I hope that I learn something from this problem and you give me grace to endure this issue. How many of you pray like that? I'm glad I got the honest group in here this morning. Amen. Here's option B. God, get rid of this problem in my life. I don't have time for it. I don't like the emotional issues it causes. And I really don't have the time to deal with this problem. Would you please get rid of it? How many of us pray like that?
Amen.
Yeah. You see, there's a big difference there, isn't there? God's values aren't like our values. It's nothing like, you see, you say, well, why is that, preacher? Why is that? Because God knows we'll never learn anything if he always removes the problem. Folks, we'll never learn anything if God is always taking away the problem. You see, he always tries to bring out the very best in our lives, and we get uptight. Because the things that are precious to God are not important to us, and we get all stressed out. Let me give you a little nugget here this morning. You know what Satan wants to do? Satan wants to pulverize you. He wants to utterly destroy you. He wants to pulverize you. You know what God wants to do? God wants to purify you.
Amen.
That's the difference.
That's right.
That is the difference. Now we've looked at the source of stress. Now let's get on to the sin of stress. The sin of stress, listen to me, living a stressed out and uptight life is sin in the sight of God.
That's right.
And you say, well, wait a minute. It is a sin because it's not necessary in the life of a believer. Now we are definitely at risk to the pressures of this world.
Amen.
Amen. We're at risk to them, but we're not vulnerable to them. I said earlier that God has given us the resources to fight against anything the world does to us. First of all, He's given us prayer, and we are to learn how to live like Christ in an ungodly world.
Man.
That's what God wants us to do. And so we are to be exceptional in all the ordinary things. We're to be exceptional in all the ordinary things, and that is not learned in 5 minutes. Amen? Walking on the water is easy for an impulsive person, isn't it? Peter jumped right out of the boat. It's easy to walk on the water. But walking on dry land as a follower of Christ is a very difficult and different thing.
Amen.
Amen. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Now, I want to give you 3 thoughts about living a stressed out life, and then I'll close it up, okay? 3 thoughts there. The sin of being fretful. The first thing is this. That this is what it does. It reveals a lack of trust in God. Reveals a lack of trust in God. Let me ask you, do you trust God enough to allow Him to fight your battles for you?
Yes.
I see some of you shaking your head. God bless you. There was a time in my life I didn't trust Him that much. I'd say, big boy, you want a piece of meat? Come on. Just come on, I can. But I've learned. I've learned. Through the years as a pastor, you learn to just ignore most of it. I told a young man that had come out of the church where I was pastoring, he's a pastor now in Butler County. I said, brother, listen to me. I said, 95% of the stuff that people are going to tell you is a lie, waste of time, or gossip. I said, so just ignore it. And he went and supplied for a couple of months at a church, and he come back and he looked like Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show when Andy was going to change jobs and Barney got to be deputy for a few days, and Barney ran back into the jailhouse. He said, Andy, you can't leave. He said, there's a big difference between deputying and sheriffing. Now brother come back to me, he said, Brother Chad, he said, there's a big difference between preaching and being a pastor. And I said, you got that right. You got that exactly right. You see, sometimes we get confused on just exactly who God is and exactly what God does.
Amen.
We get a little confused, and not only is He the creator of everything, and He is the redeemer of mankind, He's also the sustainer who the Bible says is with us at all times, and He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You see, folks, worry and sin boils down to it is nothing more than unbelief. Verse 1 says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's what this is all about. We cannot fret and have faith at the same time. We've got to get to the point where everything we think and everything we say and everything we do is from God's point of view. Stressing and fretting leads us to acting like the world. It makes us act like lost people, and I guess that's why the devil loves it so much. Second thing is this, it's harmful to us. Verse 8, if you look at your Bible, it says there to cease from anger and forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It says that fretting leads to evil doing. Let me say something. Worrying never leads to a solution, does it? It never does. It never leads you to a solution. It leads to sin. Worrying never changes the situation. All it does is harm us. What all this fretting does and worrying does, it is a killer to your spiritual life, to your emotional life, to your physical life, to your mental life. And there is a little hormone in your body called cortisol. C-O-R-T-I-S-O-L. It's cortisol. The number one thing that cortisol does is it weakens your immune system. Cortisol also causes your fat cells to accumulate in your midsection. Those two things are not good, are they? You know what cortisol comes from? Too much stress in your life. You ever notice that people that tend to worry a lot are sick a lot more than normal? The reason for that. Because that cortisol level in your body is elevated, and it weakens your immune system. And as folks, it affects you. It really does. Fretting and worrying and stress is harmful. The Bible says, fret not thyself. Now this worry, it's a tricky sin, isn't it? You're like, so I'm just not supposed to care about anything? That's not what I said. But this worry, you've got to get a handle on worry and stress in your life, because it's a very, very tricky sin. Because what it will do, it will destroy every relationship you have.
Amen.
It'll destroy it. Your family life, your prayer life, your worship life, it'll destroy all of that. If you don't believe me, just stand back and watch. And worry, like I said, it's tricky. And what it does, it draws in other sins too. It'll lead you to what? It'll lead you to say things you shouldn't say, don't it? It'll lead you to think things you shouldn't think. And it'll lead you to feel angry. And it'll lead you to feel bitter about things you shouldn't feel that way about. That's what it'll do to you. And it's harmful to us. God knows what He's talking about when He commands us to fret not. Fretting is a sin because it is unbelief. It's harmful. And last thing is this. It's needless. It's needless. The Bible says that worry is unnecessary and accomplishes nothing.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I promise you this morning on the authority of God's Word that God is going to make everything right in His good and perfect time.
Amen.
He's going to do that. There is a promise to claim there in verse 9. If you write in your Bibles, I suggest you do it. It says, evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. God is going to take care of all the evildoers. God is going to take care of all the injustice of this world in due time. It may look like God has forgotten and evil has won, but God will have the last word because He always does. Verse 10, for yet a little while. There in Psalm 37, a little while and the wicked shall not be.
Amen.
You say, well, how long is a little while? I don't know. But the Bible says it, amen? It says a little while and evil shall not be. Now, if God has promised to meet every need, and if God has promised us the peace that passes all understanding, and if God has promised us joy unspeakable and full of glory, and if God has promised us grace sufficient for every trial, and if God has promised us never to put on us more than we can bear, and He'll always have a way out of temptation, then why should we ever fret and worry about anything?
That's right.
All those are promises found in Scripture, amen? Then why should we fret and worry about anything? Listen, I'm about finished. God knows what you and I need. And He knows what you desire and what you want. He knows all that. Now, and I want to ask you, does it seem as if God is doing nothing in your life? Does it seem that way this morning? Have you asked God for help, but yet it seems like nothing is happening? I want to tell you, God is trying to produce something very precious in your life. He is trying to do that. And you may be trying to hold on to something that's not very precious at all. His values are not like ours. And what that's causing is a great deal of stress. That's what that's causing. The Bible says, fret not thyself. A lot of people are wasting their lives worrying about everything. If you're here this morning and you refer to yourself as a Christian, there should be a desire to grow in your belief and to grow in your behavior. There should be that desire. You see, because a life of faith cannot be sustained on emotion for very long. And I want to challenge you this morning. All of you are sitting there. And you all have a choice. Amen? You have a choice. We're not puppets on a string. God is not a puppet master where He has us tied up and we're robots. We have to do everything He commands. But you have a choice about dealing, about worry and stress. You have a choice. You can either keep going down the path that you're going down. You can do that. And let me tell you something. You're going to remain stressed out and you're going to remain fretful. And it's going to consume you. You have a choice about what you want to do. I'm not in the convincing business. I'm just in the truth-telling business. Amen. You have a choice. You have a choice. Young or old, tall or short, you have a choice about how you want to live your life. You have a choice about Jesus this morning too. If you're lost and you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you have a choice. You know what else you have a choice about? You have a choice about how you want to live your life. You have a choice. Don't lay it all on the devil and say, oh, the devil made me do it. He don't make you do anything. Right. We get into enough trouble on our own, right? Devil don't need to get on as much. Hey, you have a choice. You have a choice this morning about how you're going to deal with stress and worry. How you're going to deal with Jesus. And folks, you have a choice about how you're going to live. You can live the way that God wants you to live. Or you can live the way you want. And so this morning we're going to have a time of invitation, and Brother Barry's going to come, and Connie's going to come, and we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to open up the altars, and you come down here and you can pray about anything you want to pray about. A lot of you were very attentive this morning and listening, and You know, I appreciate that very much. Thank you for talking, but I mean, that's all done now. Now's decision time. I preach the sermon, God delivers the message. Amen. So let's pray. When I get done praying, I'm asking you to stand, and Brother Barry gives a page. We're going to sing. Okay, Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. And Father, so many people are just burdened down, worried, and stressed. Father, your word clearly tells us to fret not. We can't change anything. Father, it's all in your hands. All we have to stand on at the end of the day is your word and what it says. You're a due time God. In due time, the Bible says that you're going to take care of all the evil, all the wicked, and all this worry and stress in our lives is going to go away, and we'll remember it no more. But while we're here on earth, all it's doing is occupying our minds when we could be feasting on your blessings. And Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house today. We thank you for those that took time out yesterday to get your house ready to accept your people. We love you. Watch over us and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand.